You're all welcome to church this morning. And then we're going to go all to God's word. We actually started a series on knowing and understanding the love of God. I believe there have been some. There was a break last week. I think it was a very short break. But this week, we are going to be continuing on our discussion. It takes some time to explain how that God loves us. And we laid out some foundations as to how important this was to the believer. We said that if the believer does not understand this subject, he's in trouble. Because the understanding of God's love for you will influence your entire walk. You know, there are several relationships that are failing today. And they are failing today not because the people do not love each other in a sense. In a sense is what I use in a sense. But there are various reasons why the relationship does not work. So you find out that though you say, I love you, and he also says, I love you, in mountains, you can realize that if there is fear at the center of that relationship, it drowns the relationship. If there is insecurity, it drowns the relationship. If there is no submission one to another, it drops the relationship. So, if there is not trust, it drops the relationship. If you also don't know who you are relating with, it also does not help you relate with the person as you should. There are certain times you probably know someone and you did something to them. And suddenly, you realize that you become guilty. How many of us have had certain relationships break because of guilt? Now, when I say relationships, do not box your mind into a boy-girl kind of relationship. There are so many other types of relationships. Your boss, your work relationship with your superior, which is your boss. You can have relationships also that are fairly monetary. Relationship that only talk. We're only talking money. There's a business relationship, right? Then there's a marital relationship, and there's a romantic relationship, which is in marital, but sometimes it's quite different from the marital. So there are different types of relationships. There are relationships we gather from school. There are relationships where we only know ourselves when we're in school. You have that relationship. And you don't talk to yourself for 3 months. Immediately you are in school, they are the first people you call. And the relationship continues very well, no arguments. I don't know if the females have these relationships, but males have these relationships. You don't call them for 3 months, no text, no call, nothing, there's nothing going on. Then when we suddenly appear, it's like we've known ourselves for a very long time. So there are different types of relationships. So when we do not understand how to handle these relationships, then we would not be successful at having them thrive and do well. So, God also, we are in a relationship with Him. And we must know and understand the terms and conditions that warrants that relationship or that keeps that relationship moving. And that's why we have been looking at this subject for quite a while. You will realize that, how many of you have realized that this teaching has probably helped your walk with God? And there is not so much pressure and guilt and insecurity and confusion as before. Do you realize that?
Yes,
it has helped me too. Because the more you think on truths, the better you become. And the more you get to understand what those truths entail. I just like to move by God's Spirit this morning. I felt like I was talking to you while I was coming to church. So we're going to have more like a talk.
Yes, please, there's a time.
Just want to flow. So we ought to understand, not just understand, but to also know. It means we have knowledge of the relationship that we have or that we share with God. If not, the walk with God is going to be, today I'm spiritual. Tomorrow I'm not really spiritual. Today God loves me because I feel the love of God. Then there's also another time you wake up and it's like, where is he? And then you are confused. Have you had times in your walk with God when you feel very spiritual? Very connected with God.
Yes.
And there's just life oozing out of you. Then there is another time where it almost looks like, what? And that's why you should know. You should not move with how you feel, because feelings cannot be very constant. To have knowledge is to have a constant good relationship with him, whether or not you feel me around. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So, we're going to take some time again looking further. Probably this is going to be our last session, and then I'll put it on hold and we start it again some other time. But we're going to take some time continuing carefully. Today, I believe my duty is to carry you from the Old Testament down into the New Testament. Then we can see God's love in the Old and the New. So that you're not confused when you see it in the Old. And you don't say, he never loved anyone in the Old Testament. God was really a wicked God. Hey, the Old Testament God. You know? The Old Testament God, they wouldn't do anything but that. So, you see that when people gather, you know, there are some very dangerous scriptures. You will not find them anywhere in the Scriptures. Right? Dangerous. Like the ones you used to kill. I'm hoping nobody kills anyone anymore. Okay. So, we're continuing today on attitude. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. I mean 3 verse 14. Instead. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of whom the whole family in heaven has his name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye may or might be filled with the fullness of God. 1 John chapter number 3. First John chapter number 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. We said in our previous teaching is that he lavished us with his love, that we should be called the sons of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath lavished or bestowed upon us. You know, many times when we read God's word, we would have to take it for what the word says. So he's talking about a lavishing kind of love. And that lavishing love is that we are now called sons of God. We are related with him. We can call him our Father. We can cry out to him in times where we need him. We can have discussions with him. And that is the love that has been lavished on us. That's the great love that has been poured out on us. Let's see John chapter 15, verse 30. How that Jesus found, I think I'm still having a very short recap. So his lavishing love makes us one with him. We can talk with him. We can have a relationship with him. You know, I remember those times. Whenever I called my dad, and I told him I needed this, you find him running everywhere to get me what I asked him to get. That's an example of a father-son relationship. Yes, and many of your dads did that. You just not know. Even the 2 weeks they take to send you money, it was them still pushing you to make sure it was available. Yes. So, we now have such a wonderful relationship with God that we can call him our Father. In John chapter 15, verse 13, he says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Now he was actually speaking as relating to sinners, because those friends were actually sinners. Before, then he lays down his life for those sinners. What a blessing. So he refers to those friends as his own now. He owns them. Because in his death, burial, and resurrection, he calls us his own. We are identified with him. And so, greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Beloved, Romans 8, 20. Romans 8.
This was actually not part of what I should have said. Just...
Back over my mouth. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. So this was God not withholding Jesus from coming to die in our stead. But he delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, all things actually means all things. So, if God gave you and me, Jesus Christ, his son, which was his most prized treasure, how shall that same God not give us what we ask for, which is all things? Of course, all things will be still within the confines of his word. Because if you say, Lord, I want to do something right now. Get me dignity. Get me, what do you call it? Some assets. Then you mix them together. And then you say, Lord, I really want to test you, you know, whether you can do all things.
Yay.
My brother. My brother, there's trouble. So, he's going to give us all things that he has said he's giving us in his word.
Yes, sir.
All things.
All things.
Healing.
Health.
You know, his love manifested in the natural things that we have all around us. So if he did not withhold Jesus from us, and he allowed him, his allowing him was he delivering him. So he gave him up for us. How shall he, that same God, not give us something small like healing? You know, you see, someone said that, you know, the reason why I'm sick, I believe, God is teaching me a lesson by the sickness. No. He doesn't teach lessons by putting sickness on his
people.
In fact, his word sent, which is Christ, healed their diseases.
Glory.
Right from Exodus 25, you see that how he tells them, I am the Lord, I will deliver thee, I will heal thee. That's a reality. So he's not making you sick so he can teach you a wise lesson. No. So sometimes you meet someone who is sick, and they say that God is the one that wants to teach me a lesson. But he wants to punish me. That's why I've had this disease for 5 years. That's quite interesting. In fact, the reason why he was wounded was because of your transgression. And the reason why he was bruised was because of your iniquity and mine. The chastisement of your peace and mine was laid upon him. And for every stripe that he took, that's how we became
healed.
And so, you get to see people who suffer. They suffering, but it's not in the context of what you assume it is. They suffer. They're suffering for him. In the work of the ministry. Yes. There's doing things that will inconvenience you for his work, but not sickness. Right?
Yes, Pastor Sir.
Not sickness.
Not sickness.
So we ought to be careful how that we agree with the devil to allow certain things happen to us. No.
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 In fact, if you pay attention to Jesus' existence, throughout the gospel, you know, Jesus is the exact representation of God. Right? So, whenever we see Jesus, We have a clear knowledge of who God is. And there was not a single time when Jesus met the sick and he said, this one is for your good, for you to learn a lesson. All through the Gospels, you realize that whenever he met the sick, what did he do?
He healed them.
So that's a very clear reality of the fact that God actually wants you well. He wants you consistently well as well. So he's not looking at how that he should punish you with some sickness so that you can learn a lesson. You don't learn lessons like that. So he refers to his friends and then he said, I died for them. You know why? Because he really, really loves us. In John 3:16, let's all flip there. In John 3:16, you know, if everything fails, the love of God will not fail. Don't ever forget it. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
If everyone fails, and if everything fails, God's love for you will never fail. It's constant. It's unchanging. You know, we're going to see that today clearly. That's why I said I'm going to be talking to you. I'm talking to you actually. So, you know, sometimes when you probably do something for him, maybe let's say you give an offering in a sense, you know, it makes you feel really good. And if care is not taken, you're going to be relating with him on the basis of what you have done. And that's going to be a problem. You're not supposed to relate with him on what you have done. You're going to be relating with him based on what he has done and based on his love for you, not your love for him. Your love for him is pretty much unfaithful. Because I can imagine the number of times we all have promised him things. So I don't like to promise God. Yes, honestly. He asked me to do something some days back. And I was like, I told him, I said, Lord, I've now completed 100%. I'm not going to argue with you. And then I'll just sit with myself somewhere so I can talk to him. I can talk to him while I'm with people, but I'll just sit with myself. And I'm like, Lord, you asked me to do this. So I'm just going to do this. Then you know what I told him? He said, why are you not happy doing what I'm doing? And I said, oh yeah, he now reminds me of it. He says, you know what I'm asking you to do? I actually have already empowered you to do. I said, yes. So I get to realize how that his commandments are not previous. It's not a hard thing. You see, when God tells you, serve me, he's not wanting you to serve him so that you will now become useless. No. He wants you to serve him for your own good, for your own sake. When he says, pay attention to my word, he wants you paying attention to his word for your own benefit. And that is actually his love. Everything that he does for you in the picture. Because he's all sufficient. He has everything. He can do anything he wants to do with or without you. So, to instruct and to command is to actually profess his love to you and to preserve you. Right? So, let me not be Back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. He so loved. He so loved. Now, that expression, I tried to look into it. And it's a love that can be seen. Right? It's a love that can be seen. A love that can be seen. Now, when I say it's a love that can be seen, you can have visible expressions of that love. And that love is that he died for you. That was the expression of his love for us. So in Romans chapter 5, while we were yet still sinning, Christ gave himself for us. You know, sometimes as a believer, you can say, oh, you know, this is very basic. But I'm telling you, it's not basic in the time of trouble.
Oh, yes.
Yes. You see, it's easy for you to stand and say, God really loves you. I've committed a very serious sin. Then you are maybe the CFI member, right? So God really loves you. He really cares about you. He's really interested in your well-being. Then you now also commit something that you also need to know that he really loves you. Then before you realize, we find you saying that, I don't think this Christianity thing is for me. Because I like it. How many of us like to watch photographs? Don't look at me. And then, what do you call it? Maybe you have two girlfriends. You know, the reasons why people make references to these is because it looks like a very high class thing, like the highest of the class, aside meta. Like, aside meta. The next one is sexual sins. Yeah. So, before you realize this sexual thing, I'll go to church. If you don't have a church, instead of looking at him and seeing him for his face, you're seeing yourself for what you did yesterday.
Oh,
and so, it separates you from him rather than it draws you closer to him. So you see that people keep running away while his love for them is commended already. While they should be running to him, they keep running away because they are not seeing Jesus in his love for them. But rather, they see their deed in the relationship that they share with him. You see, I think we're going to take time to see. I think I've touched something really sensitive myself. So, you see, when it comes to, I knew I was going to talk to you, I just knew. When it comes to, sexual sins, now, it is.
sign of our lives. Okay. Now, watch what that's going to do. That is going to slow you down. At the rate where you should be running the thing or preparing the thing to fulfill the thing. So, once you do this, God has a plan for you in the ministry. Then, you're going to, in yourself, take this from anything that will want to slow you down or impede your growth in you. It's not, you can't do it. You know what? Because the devil is always going to talk to you in this weird voice. When you want to pray, pictures start coming. And it shows. Ah, you did this. And you know, the fire just goes to come. Right? Anything you want to pray, something else. How do you do that? You do that this. How do you do that? You do that this. So because you don't want to do those thoughts and inroad into your walk with him. You will walk. So, and how you're going to do it is to depend on the Spirit. Huh? Depend on the Spirit.
Yes, please, Pastor.
Depend on the Holy Spirit. And how you depend on him is to acknowledge that he's actually put in you the ability to say no. You know what I mean? You see, it's better than that. No, it's shh. What I see is that the figures are worrying me.
My God.
I see dark girls, I can't really start. It's because you have not come to that pain like you, that God's Spirit on the inside of you gives you that ability to say, and yes, it is. You have that ability. So you're going to come to terms that I can see no to what I'm doing. I don't have to let my flesh take a higher, you know, portion of what I should. I can look at it and say no. And then you start to block out all the influences that will try to come in to sway you off from that ability of saying no. Because you know, even as a pastor, I was going through something on Facebook, and something pops up on my phone. And what's that? Something maybe just pops up. What would you do? Would you say, oh, let me just follow and see? That's a mistake many people do. You want to follow and see? Before you follow, he has led you to another place. Then there's another follow to another spot. So when you see those things, you stop them. I can show you my face. I think it's that way
to talk to me.
I didn't intend to, but I actually heard it. Like you'll be talking to them today. Can you imagine?
I'm going to show you. I'm only on Facebook, right? Get a mic. I'm hoping this thing doesn't swear. Get a mic. Okay.
So, we're going to go to my Facebook wall, right?
Yes, Pastor.
Then, you're going to, we're just going to see what, because I keep a lot of discretion. When I see something, I just hide and never see again, and it's content. Or I use those things frequently. You see that? But some of you are following people on Snapchat. They're showing you things. They want you to go. Ohima, something. It's what I'm saying to you. When you go on Snapchat, you are confused. And some of you like following the guys that have muscle. And they do something like this. Okay, sit down. Go there now. You see that? Some of you are following you know that these relationships, they are not married, but they live together. They grow together. It's like they never fight. They are just there. And so, you know, what happens is that it's now imprinted in your mind that it's okay to live with someone not married. And it's okay to kiss, it's okay to do what, it's okay to enjoy yourself. I mean, what is life about? It's not really anything. So you pay attention to those things. If you are serious, if you are not serious, what I'm saying, you're going to do it. You just say, that teacher is just talking, doesn't know what he's talking about. But if you are serious, you are serious, what has something to me? And I do not want to be an inroad into my life. Then you're going to be, what do you call it? Watchful of those things. There are some things I watch and I don't watch again. Like, maybe you are walking past someone by the roadside and you see something. You see that it's more easier to see. Sometimes you don't like to look at people that everybody knows you can't take from you. So, when you see one, you slow down and go down. And you look at people. I promise you. I saw someone there. Someone in circle or something. There was a lady that was not dressed well. Everybody that she passed by, like, stopped and looked at her.
So what do you see on my page? The first post, just this one.
Rema Bible Training
Academy. What is it? Wow.
God in Sapo Anna.
That's
the man of the prophet. Also, I see a post by a Nigerian man on the gospel. Uh-huh. And then I see another church, Crossview Chapel. Uh-huh. And then I see a business.
Business selling microphone.
Yes, please.
And business selling placards.
Yes, please. And another man of God.
Another man of God.
Business.
A business.
Another prophet.
Another prophet.
Wow. A church.
A church.
Mm. And then another man of God.
Daughter of Zion, Esther.
Daughter of Zion, Esther.
Uh-huh. And so, then, this one, see, you see what?
A business.
A business, okay. Yes. Another church.
Another church. Hmm. Okay, this is an ad.
An ad.
And this is a man. A man of God.
A man of God.
Wow.
A man of God.
Business.
Is it business? Daily graphic.
Daily graphic. A man of God.
A man of God.
A man of God.
A man of God.
Business.
Business.
A man of God.
A man of God.
A TV station.
A TV station. Christian. That's a man of God.
A man of God.
Uh-huh.
A man of God.
Uh-huh.
A man of God.
Uh-huh.
Business.
Uh-huh.
Business.
Uh-huh.
A man of God.
Uh-huh.
Business.
Uh-huh.
A man of God.
Uh-huh.
A man of God.
Uh-huh.
business.
Do you see that? Yeah. Well regulated.
Oh, yeah.
No. So, it doesn't happen out of the blue. It's regulated. Highly. Yes. Even when I see someone with vulgar language, like I pass, I go there and I see, no. I don't want to see any of it. So, I can be on Facebook, maybe let's say I'm R. And I'm still reading things that edify me. Yes. You will not find me seeing anything. That is very strange. And some of you open your Snapchat. It's secondary pornography. Secondary. It's the junior brother of it. So what am I doing? I'm trying to block the inroads. But anywhere that I will do something that is not healthy, I block it. Anybody I see that is vulgar, I block it. Anybody that rises up, speaks against a man of God, I block it. So sometimes my work will just be to see my page. Just block and unblock and delete. And if I had, I would block their pages. It's very sad. So you can see that if you're going to walk in that, there's an intentionality. Right now, I'm actually prophesying, but
you're
I didn't plan to talk about this. That's what I'm talking to you. I don't know what I'm talking to you about, but I'll be talking to you.
You're talking good, Pastor.
So that's how some of you will need to see that this guy. You can some guys. You have maybe a relationship with him. You so much love. That even when they go there, if they say they want to come back in the next 1 hour, you say it. And they want to meet you at Lincoln Hotel
in the next
5 days, you still say it. But you want their status every day. You want their status every day. Every day you see their status. So why don't you block that too?
Block.
Because that is also something. That is a distraction. Why do you keep going back to view people's things that you don't want to have anything to do with? Me, I have people are blocked. I got you. Yes, I can show you. Or mute. I don't see your state. You think I'm seeing, but I'm not seeing you. Anybody that I see is a threat to my pastoral duties and call. I'm muted. Yes. I don't see it. So you'll be posting something, you think you are insulting me and all that. Mute. See that? No. I don't want God on my status. He's staying with me in my house. He's on mute. But the things we post is dangerous. Some people are just seeing. They post very sensitive things. They said, I'm going to just keep my sanity. That's if you are serious. If you are serious.
If you are serious.
If you are not serious, you will not take what I'm saying. But if you are serious, you're going to do the same thing.
Same thing.
I showed you my wrong. So I don't see a lot of things that are going on. So God commended his love for us while we were yet still sinners. He died for us. While we were involved in sin, he died for us. Okay. So we are now actually getting into our
prophecy.
So this was just me. By God's grace, I think I'm together. So let's get into it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses number 16. And I told you that in this particular teaching, we're going to be taking us through and helping us understand and see God's love and to know His love by His dealing with us in the scriptures. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It means it's God breath, it's God inspired. The Holy Scriptures are given by God. And it's profitable for doctrine. Profitable means it's advantageous for doctrine. He's not saying some, he's saying all, right? So all scriptures are profitable, or is profitable. It's advantageous. The word doctrine, there's the word teaching. So all scripture, the entirety of God's word, is advantageous for teaching. And when we teach, we have proof. So whenever you find out somebody saying that, oh, it's some revelation, but it's not in the word of God. No, that's not something we can hear. And no matter how influential the person is, you're not supposed to listen. All scripture. That means that everything you are telling me, you should be able to show it to me from here.
Wow.
Prove it to me from here. So the entirety of God's word is advantageous for teaching, which is doctrine. And in teaching, we have proof. Are you listening?
Yes.
Or we have evidence. So in that same way, knowing and understanding the Father's love, it's not something that we just feel. No. If we want to know the Father's love and to understand the Father's love, we will have to go back to the scriptures. So the scriptures are now the reasons why we can understand and to know. Know is knowledge, is to have knowledge of the Father's love. So His love is known. It's not something that you just, you know, feel like butterflies in my veins. Right? What if there are no butterflies? And that's what we are going to be carefully looking at today. All scripture is given and it's advantageous for teaching. Then, when we teach, we receive enough proof. There's enough evidence. So, there's a reason why, you know, we have this as the scriptures. I'm going to deal with something very short but important. Now, this is a Bible. The word Bible there is actually the word Bible. It means a compilation of different books. Right? So, in the compilation of these books, this book is intended to communicate a truth or a story. Consistent. Now, how many of us have gone into libraries? Okay. So, libraries can actually be arranged in two forms. There could be alphabetical order, books arranged in alphabetical order, and there are also books that are arranged according to conceptualized knowledge. So, we can have a sector where you will only find geography. Right? So, it means that when you go to that particular shelf, all the books you're going to be reading about or seeing on that shelf is going to be geography. So we're going to have, you know, things that are geographical in their nature. Stratosphere, hemisphere, all of those things, the land, the seas, latitude, longitude, the earth, that's what you're going to be seeing. So all of those books will speak a common language, which is what? Geography. Right? So we can call that also, call that the compilation of geographical books. Now, the Bible also can be likened to that. It's a compilation of books that tell a story. Now, that story is called Christ. Everything in here points to Christ. So, what that means is that Christ becomes the central theme of the Bible. Now, have you met some people who say, yeah, they actually want to sound intelligent? They do.
When I meet those people, I'm actually blessed.
You know, they say, or you can find out that there are some other books there, they say that it's not in the Bible. Why are they not adding those books to the Bible? But we have only the 66. Why are they limiting us to the 66 books? Why don't they want us to read? Oh, you know, there are different books. Actually. Yeah. There is the Maccabees, there is the Septuagint, there are the Dead Sea Scrolls, Book of Enoch, seven books of Moses, various books. But you see, those books, the reasons why they were not canonized, actually, means they were not added to these, is because they find themselves dissociated from the central theme, which is fact. It means their emphasis will be something that is not on the central thing that is Christ.
Wow.
And because Christ is the center of what we do and who we are in God, we want to only make references to things that point to Him.
Yeah,
so the moment that we do not find any truth of Christ in those, we remove them from Him. It's not really important. You know, there are several miracles that were did by Christ according to the book of John that could not be accounted for if we were compiled in Him. Several other miracles. But why were certain miracles specifically chosen? Because they pointed to the reality of what Christ had done. So, the Bible is the central theme. And Christ is the central theme of the Bible. And so, all scripture in here, like I rightly told you, you're going to see Christ in there. You're going to see what God is doing in Christ. What God has done in Christ. Because He is not something in Christ. And He's not doing something in Christ. So, that is why we're not going to find a lot of those other non-canonized or non-Christ-centered books compiled with this. So, all scripture is given and it's advantageous for teaching. And then when we teach, what we receive is what? Proof. Evidence. So, in the love of God, what that means is that we are also going to look for some proofs here. And then we're going to see how through the ages God expressed His love towards men. Are we clear?
Yes, sir.
God is the same yesterday, He's the same today, He's the same forever. That is actually true. So we shouldn't find Him changing at a point in time. There's a consistency to His nature. He's the same. So if He loves us now, He loved us then. If He loved us then, He will love us ahead. His love is a constant. It never changes. The moment He becomes inconsistent with whatever it is He says, He ceases to be God. So all scripture is given for us to pay attention to this subject matter as well. So in knowing and understanding the Father's love, We're going to be doing the same work here. So all scripture, Genesis chapter number 2. I'm hoping we'll be able to complete Genesis chapter 2. I have to find a translation that is very close to the New Testament. I mean, very close to the King James. And yet still breaks the language in to present understandable terms. So I just might be using a different Bible for you. So I'm going to be reading the New American Standard Bible, 1995. So it's much clearer. So Genesis chapter 2, we're going to be reading from verses number 15 to 17. Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may freely eat. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." Now notice what God is doing here. Pay attention. He is giving out clear instructions on what they should do and what they should not do. Right? Then what does he do after? He informs them of the consequences of their actions. Right? You know, when somebody loves you, they give you clear instructions. Don't do this. And yet, when they still love you, they hold you accountable for what you did that they said you should not do. Do you understand?
Yes.
Now, if God had put them in the garden and they were just some, you know, instructions that he had not told them, then they go ahead to do it, they cannot be held responsible because they didn't know. So the love of God was to tell them what they should do and what they should not do. He says, "Look, I've set before you death and life." Right? In Deuteronomy chapter 30, tells them how that they are set before them death and life. Then he gives them an instruction. He says, "What? Choose." He's not going to manipulate you. Some of you are manipulating people to love you. Don't manipulate anyone to love you. Is that okay? You've left me. I'll never forgive you, number one. You know who better for you? That's manipulation. You are forcing them to love you. No, God doesn't do that. So manipulation is not love. Some of you are also buying expensive and luxurious things so that they will love you. That's a certain kind of manipulation. In a sense, the motive should be that you love the person, not that you are doing it so that they can actually respond. You are manipulating them secretly and subtly by your giving. It shouldn't be so. You are giving, just give to them because you love them.
Yes, please, Pastor.
That's why when you give, then they say no. Then you now start. Hey, I heard of one story, eh? The guy, honestly, I was clapping for the guy in that room. He said that, comfort! He mentioned all the things that he had bought for the lady.
Wow.
And
wow,
he took every one of those things. Yeah. Including the lady's last wig he bought for her. So, I was in my room, I was happy. Clapping for the man. Because there's a certain kind of wickedness. You know, when you are collecting and you tell him that, you know, I really don't like you, but if you give it to me, I'll collect. But you don't say anything.
You don't say anything.
And then you keep collecting.
Wow.
Dangerous.
He keeps paying. And then you call him Mr. Ozo. Yakubu. So when I heard it, real life star, I'm not lying to you.
Wow.
I said, this guy is a really smart guy.
Yes.
Collected.
I'm proud of him.
The
brother is proud.
And do you know something?
He said that he was writing everything that he
saw signs that. And he would take.
Wow.
And he would take. And he would take. And he would take. He collected every single thing. Don't like something. Tell the person that.
Relax.
Like. This is not going in
there.
I hate it. There was a famous judge who went to the law court, true life story, and he was accused for a crime. And the judge said that they should lash him 40 strokes, but they should lash him. And he told the judge, so rather like this. I don't like it. I hate it. And the judge says, oh, I don't know how to do it. So they took him out. And then he took a car and went to the judge's house. He didn't have a car. He had a knife. And the judge ran out. Sit down and listen to the next part of the story. So I'm telling you, what you don't like, see that you don't like. And whoever it is, just walk it out. Eh? And then he had kept. Stop. Yeah, so the judge went to a different town. And he was a poor man, he didn't have like maybe 2 hour drive from the town. And the guy said, I told you that I don't. And he started to and walked the town. And the judge heard that he was not, he was in town. And he drove another 4 hours away from where he was And when the guy got to realize that he was
sad,
wow. And finally, he came to that. So when God says, I don't know, isn't that he doesn't love? He's just telling you what he doesn't love. I mean, every father has a child. And when you do when you go contrary to the child, there's a cause. Not because he hates you, because there are consequences well laid out for disobedience. So, God is telling Adam and Eve, right? Do not. No, that's
just a story. I don't want you to be like that.
Yes, please,
Daddy. Yeah, yeah. Pastor, I said, you said,
no. So, but from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day you shall eat, of it you shall surely die. That is God. He said that if you eat this thing, what is coming is death. Great. So he gave man the opportunity to make a choice. To choose. Not to manipulate man into worshipping him and to wanting to be around him. Because manipulation in itself is also not love. When you love someone, you allow them to do what they want to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you tell them what is the truth, but yet still you allow them. So when you tell some of you ladies, you said, I just told him, I said I will not love him, and he just stopped texting me. Why should No, I don't mean texting friendly. I'm saying texting in that sense. Now, he doesn't really drop love to me. What should he? We could actually teach on that same thing contextually on perseverance in a different way. But link it to what I'm teaching now.
Yes.
So always keep my examples to the teaching.
Yes.
Because there are also times you say, I don't love it, and you keep dropping, praying, God. So, in the 17, says that do not eat. Because if you eat, you will surely die. So God in his love gives man an instruction. He gave him clear instructions on what to do, what not to do. And then he also informed him of the what? The consequences of what that will entail. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, from the fruits of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruits of the tree which is in the middle of the garden God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. You see that?
Yes.
The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruits and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig trees together and made themselves loin coverings. So they had gone contrary to God's will. And because God changes not, you see, God couldn't have just said that
even if you have sinned, from now on, the consequences are erased. No, he doesn't go back to erase what he's already instituted. He says that there's a command of death. He can't. That's how he is God. He will not refute his word. He will not take his word back because you did something. He already gave you a lot of other trees you could eat from. Wow. Several of them in the garden. Wow. And he put a restriction on one just so that you could be kept in check. Then you now say, I'm not agreeing to what you say. So he couldn't go back. If he could, he would have. Now, in his sovereignty, I've heard a lot of things about the sovereign nature of God. But one of the things that he has far exalted above himself is his word. Wow. His word is his sovereignty. That's where his power, his jurisdiction lies. So he will not go back against his word because you decided not to. So here is Adam and Eve. They have finally disobeyed God. And then God is communicating to them a reality or a truth. Verse 8, they heard the sound of the Lord, God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said, where are you? He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was so busy. So I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? Have you eaten from the tree I gave you a word of healing? Then the Lord God said to the serpent, the woman says, sorry, the story, the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field, on your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain. Now, what we actually see from here is,
keep your eyes still on the scriptures.
What we actually see from here is actually God's elaboration on the expression death. He was not now reforming it. That was not death and day. So what he was doing was actually elaborating and stating out what they had chosen, which is death. Are you listening?
Yes.
So this is the woman, I'll bring him up by pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring for children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Then he said to Adam, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and you have eaten from the tree, about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread, till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken. For you are dust. You see that? So all the elaborations now come to say, for you are dust. Is that there?
Yes, sir.
Actually, more related to is separation. We do not have any union together. And that warrants you to die physically. The fact that you are separate from me, right? You will not have that continuous eternal life that you should have. Translating it into physical death. So, he's saying that both thorns and thistles shall grow for you and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground. Because from it you are taken. For you are what?
you are dust. So did man choose death?
Yes, he was, yes, sir.
Did death have all of these realities sound in it?
Yes, he was, yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, he was, yes, sir.
Okay. So was God the problem?
No.
Man was?
Yes, sir.
Now we're going to see God's love in this story, okay? Because I told you that he is constant.
He's constant.
Right? Yes. Just as he gives rightly for your disobedience what is required, he still in that shows a lot of compassion. I told you from my first teaching, he rightly exemplifies the father and the mother. Are you listening?
Yes,
sir. So he's, do you see his fatherly role here?
Yes, sir.
In the fact that he is giving what they have chosen. Right? Okay. Now, pay attention. Verse 19. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you are taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Now the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. Verse 21. Can we read together, church? So do you see, this is what he's doing there?
Yes,
he stole them. You have disobeyed. But then his compassion is that he made garments of skin for Adam and his wife. And what did he do? He clothed them. He clothed them. Pay attention. He's not reacting. He's actually stating the obvious. That's what you choose. Right?
Yes.
And he is elaborating on what he already had said in Genesis chapter 2. Now, however, irrespective of man's obedience, right, to God's instructions, God did not abandon them. Did he abandon them?
Yes.
What did he rather do?
Yes.
He clothed them. He still cared for them. He made provision for that. So, despite man's love, his love was still present and evident. So he didn't just abandon them in their fallen state. He actually showed lots of mercy and compassion to them. Now, in the Old Testament, there were actually types of what we'll call figures. But that's what it's called. They're types. And you can clearly tell that right on the cloth of skin was a communication of a truth that was to come.
Wow.
Now, how do you get the skin of an animal? It's going to be its skin.
Wow.
So, right from the beginning, God had given a propitiation for man's sin, which will be in the death of Christ, to clothe and to show them, despite their flaws. So what God was doing right there was that he was still saying, yes, you missed it, but even if you're missing it, I've already provided for you a covering, which is Christ. And that didn't take a long time for you to realize. The moment he executed, or the moment he elaborated, or the moment he stated out the obvious in what it was, he clothed them immediately. So you still find God's compassion and God's mercy dealing with man's inadequacy and man's misses. Compassion, mercy, kind, tender. What a blessing. So, this was that Christ who takes away the sin of the world, typified right from the beginning. He was not confused. You know, he wasn't so shocked. Adam! No, he just shows up, states out the obvious. And the funny thing is that he's even pretending that he didn't know. You see? Like, Adam, where are you? The Lord, I'm here. Adam, the fruit I asked you to eat of, did you just do that? Father Lord, the wife you gave me, the wife, who asked you? The serpent you gave me. The serpent, who sent you? And you know that even man didn't even know what he actually needed. Man didn't know. God was the one that gave the provision for man. Man didn't ask. You know, it's like, Lord, I have really missed it. Please cover me with skin to me and to show that, oh, you're going to make provision for my sin. Oh, Lord, please help me in this situation. He didn't ask. He didn't ask. But God, in his sense, is already giving. Man did not ask. Could not have asked. He didn't even know what he needed. But God was still giving.
God was still giving.
While he disobeyed, God still gave.
God still gave.
So there are certain times where it looks like God does not love you. I'm telling you, it's not of God when you always have, you know, these thoughts as to whether you are pleasing, whether you will ever amount to anything good before him. You're not really sure whether, because you live a certain way, he does not really love you. He does not really care about you. You know, I spoke to some of the person, I prayed about this, he didn't mind me. Those are statements like that. And they make you almost feel dumpy on what God should be or what God has already done. But right from the beginning, I told you that all scripture is profitable for doctrine. Are you listening?
Yes.
So we have an advantage of seeing God's love right from the beginning. And I tell you, I can show you all major stories that depicting him was right in there. Always showing mercy. Always showing compassion. Always showing his love towards man. So you see that God is making provision for man. There was just one thing man did. And it was to mess it up. That was all the way. Man, that was the only one. There was to mess up what God had given him the opportunity to do or not to do. He just messed it up. And what is God doing? He shoots up. He cleans up. Even when man did not ask. You know, God really loves you. Like, he really loves you. He really loves you. He really loves you.
He really loves me.
And he's not condemning. He's not pointing hands at you. He's saying, you did this and you did that. Look at your life. He truly cares for you. Right in the next chapter, we're going to see Cain and Abel again. So this is God. He gives out instruction. He loves man enough to cause man to choose. So, ask God as well. Just the pastor before we get it. Because all scripture is given. We're supposed to see Christ in his love. Learn to see people's choices and respect them. Now, I think I should put this in good ground. Don't see in the context of sin and people going to hell. He said, we respect their choices. No. People have choices. And it's love to understand. You have choices. In when it comes to souls, as for that one, they are blinded, so they don't really have a choice. It's a blindfold. So that one, we have to firstly pray them in. But when it comes to the will of man, man's will, I want to do this. You can give counsel, but don't get pain when somebody does not listen to you.
Yes, please, Pastor.
You love someone, does it take a thing out? That's a joke. Yes. I do think that what is the let's respect. Are you going to respect?
I'm going to respect it.
It's very important.
Let's respect.
Be like God.
Let's respect.
Do this. No, I will not. See, Pastor, we made up my mind. I think I'm not a big man, so one time a parent called me for counsel. How to because she wanted something so bad. She wanted something so serious that the daughter should go in a certain way. And the daughter should do a certain thing. So I said, I didn't understand. She said, you have to be careful. Because your daughter will have a choice. And I gave a piece of another. I said, you advise to do this thing with that way. You come back and say that you are the one that says you should be it. So be like them. Give out the counsel. Pray for her that you want to have counsel. But she's entitled to give you the counsel. That's how it works. He has a strong desire and a lot of evidence that all men will be saved. But even as I speak, there are things that can settle down today. I think I can do it for this. It might be a good question. Somebody has done. So, God greatly desires that all men will be saved and will come to the knowledge of the truth of the gospel. But he's not having all of them saved.
And does he love man?
Of course he does. Of course he does. It's just like you're trying to get somebody to agree on the word with you. Because we're not going to have a miracle if we don't agree on what God's word says.
Oh, yes, Pastor.
I see. Everything is going to be fine. Go and do it. Then you don't say, oh, how is it going to work? You're not agreeing on what God's word says we should agree on. If I say you're healed, there has to be an agreement on your side. I am healed, I know it. So you find people disagreeing with the word of God, and yet still they want it to turn out right. So while man was sinning, or while man sinned against God, disobeyed against God, he still had mercy and compassion on them. Sometimes the mother exemplifies the father so well. The child falls down and bruises the leg. Then you see that the mother beats the child again. Have you abused him like that? And you beat before you now say, sit down. Let me see the leg. And then you clean the leg gently again. Right? Why was the beating? Was it because you just wanted to beat the child?
No.
Because maybe you've been taking that. Don't go there. So the child is continually going there. Continually. So, we have to realize what God is doing in Genesis, right?
Yes,
so do we see the compassion of God?
Yes, Pastor.
The love of God.
Yes,
Pastor. Poured out on man, even after man sinned. So next chapter, Genesis chapter 4.
Yes, Pastor.
And Cain. This is the story of Cain. No. Genesis chapter 4, verse 8. Let me read. Cain told Abel, his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother, Abel? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? God must have been like a very compassionate God. When you read the scriptures and you see how people can be very, what's that word called? It's like they don't see God the way he is. They talk to him like, he's just any other man. So God is asking, where is your brother? God, man. I'm sure you had all of these things in addition. But it's just that for English, it's very clear for us. But the summary of that conversation was probably some murmuring attached to it. Like, look at this God. Hey. So Cain rose up against his brother, killed him. Where is Abel, your brother? I do not know. I don't know. It's like you despise him, in a sense. Despise him. Where's the remote? I don't know. Where's your brother? I don't know. I don't know. The follow-up of what he said shows that what I'm saying is actually how it should be seen. Am I my brother's? Why should you ask me? Then you say, what have you done? What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hands. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is too great to bear. Behold, you have driven me from this day from the face of the ground, and from your face I will be hidden. And I will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. And whoever finds me will kill me. So this was actually Cain doing something that was wrong. That obviously God does not endorse. Right? And since there's a consequence for his action, he has to be able to bear those consequences of his actions. Matter. In fact, God says that his voice was crying out to him. I mean, he committed murder, but he was still bold enough to ask God, where is, I mean, am I my brother's keeper? The rest of the story is quite interesting. So, God outrightly is giving him the consequences of his decision. Then he now starts to complain again in verse 14. You are driving me this day from the face of the ground, and from the face of the hidden. I'll be a vagrant, I'll be a wanderer on the earth. And so, Lord, whoever finds me will kill me. Isn't it amazing? But you just killed someone. But you're saying, whoever finds you will kill me. I mean, if you didn't fear death, it should be easy for you to go as well. Because you killed someone. Listen to what the Lord said in verse 14. So the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold. Just in mercy and compassion there. Yes. He said that, Lord, please. The warrant of what I did was that I'll be a brother to someone that's a wonder. And anybody that finds me, okay, God, please. God, please. Then God said, this is what I'm going to do for you. Nobody will be able to touch you.
Wow.
So he now said, whoever kills you will be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord appointed a sign for Cain, so that no one finding him would what?
Kill him.
Was that his compassion?
Yes, yes, sir.
You know he should have died.
Yes, sir.
He should have died. But then he says, Lord, is there something you're going to do about this? Because when these people find you, they're going to kill me. They're going to kill me. So what we see there also is the love of God. His mercy, because he should have actually died. But the Lord is saying, I put a mark on you. And that mark on you, when anybody finds you, your fear of death should not be an issue. You're not going to be found. You live even though you killed someone.
Wow.
So he put his protective seal on Cain. That anybody else that found Cain will not kill him. actually typifying God's mark on believers. You know, in the Old Testament,
you remember the story where there was an instruction that they had to mark
the doorpost. And that when death came upon them, they marked the doorpost with blood. And that whenever the spirit of death came and saw that sign, that it will be passed. Christ becomes that essence of the pastor.
Wow.
So when he put his mark on him, he was literally saying that, don't worry, what you actually deserve is death. That's true of you. He's not destroying. Who is here?
This pastor.
He's not destroying. He's actually saving and preserve. Yet don't forget, there's a consequence to that action. He's not interested in you just becoming nothing and dying. Speaking to him. Speak in tongues, just under your breath. Remember, in these two stories you've seen, I actually have an entire, but we're going to look at it in this, but I'll pause for you. Not now, I'll pause for this. I mean that there's something to do with choice. There's something to do with choice.
Yes, Miss Pastor.
Choice. Adam and Eve chose.
Yes, Miss Pastor.
Cain chose.
Yes, Miss Pastor.
In both circumstances, his response was mercy and compassion. We choose his love. We choose to receive his love. You don't just say, I don't know why things are not happening. No. You choose to see this black hole. Don't forget. Adam and Eve chose Adam. Cain chose Adam. Yet his response to them also was compassion and mercy. He always extends his love. You actually choose to believe he loves you or not. So while he gives you the opportunity to choose to respond to his love, you can also reject his love. You know, Cain, after being very disobedient, chose the way of mercy, and he had mercy actually. He chose to receive mercy from God. That was why he said that, please, I'll be a wanderer. If you allow this, they will kill me. That was, in a way, submitting himself to receive or to choose the love sign of God. You choose to receive his healing and his love. You choose. He doesn't force it on you. You choose to receive his salvation. You choose to receive, you know, the power of God in your life.
Oh, yes.
That's his love.
I choose.
You choose to say, I know God loves me. You choose to say that. He will not withhold it from you, but you have to make a choice. How that he extended and commanded his love to be one of the greatest, myself, Christ died.
know that even in his unskinning and covering Adam and Eve, he could have said, you don't want. They would have done that, right? That's choosing the love of God. Because he extended. That's what he always did. He always extends. Out here, I don't want to see. And then they go out here. And there are people like that still today. After they are in sin and God gives himself to them in Christ, they now choose to say, we don't believe. Listen to me. Somebody listen to me. Never should you be condemned. Never should you get to that point where you say, oh no,
think it's all done. Never should we get to that point. Just say unto them, as long as I live, says the Lord, he says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And that's why you should serve him for the rest of your life. Knowing that all he has ever showed you is mercy and compassion. All he has ever showed you. I'm telling you, he has never repaid you the evil that you deserve. He never has. For if the Lord shall mark iniquity, who shall stand? He says, not one, not one. Thank you, Jesus. Take your seats quietly. I'm hoping to Ezekiel 33:18. Quietly. Ezekiel 33:18. Okay, let's read from verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn you from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? He could have abandoned Israel. But he's telling them that he has no pleasure in their death. He has no pleasure in the death of Adam and Eve, which is sure death. No pleasure in the death of Cain. But he actually wanted them to be alive. He had no death in the pleasure of Israel. He's not a God that is looking to smite and to kill at the least mistake. And we ought to be the same as well. You know, why we take time to learn about God is to know how to respond to his love for us. And then to also know how to reciprocate that love to others. So it shouldn't be that you are, just hearing this. And then yes, we focus on his love for you, yes. But we are also going to look at how you can reciprocate that to your friends. How you can show mercy and compassion. Right? So in Matthew 5:16, he calls him a father of good works. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So they are attributing good works to who? To God. Because he's saying that your light should shine before men, right? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So, God is attributed to things that are good, things that are glorious. That's his character. That's his character. He's not abandoned. Like that is the story of Noah. But we're going to probably maybe close a little bit, but put a little bit. But God is not abandoned. It's not dispensed. I want you to live like this all the rest of your life. So they attribute good works to him. See this. Downward. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despisefully use you and persecute you. Our emphasis is going to be verse 45. That ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. Do you see that? So good is attributed to God. That ye may be children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. His sun is shining and rising on those who are good and those who are evil. And he sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Have you seen that his love is without speech, is without any kind of hypocrisy as well? He loves the sinner just as much as he loves the believer. And that's why he is not abandoning the sinner. Right? In fact, he commended his love towards them while they were yet still sinners. And he commended his love towards us while we were yet still sinners. So he's not confused. You know, sometimes, as believers, you can sometimes think the person who is not born again, God does not love him. He loves you as much as he loves them.
Yes, please, Pastor.
When you preach the gospel to them and they become saved, that is not when he began loving them. No. They only at that point in time began to receive the love that God has for them in receiving the gospel. So when you preach to a sinner, that's not when they have actually received the love of God. The love of God is constant. It's always there. It's for both the sinner and the believer. But when we preach to the sinner and the sinner gets to believe, they actually now receive. Just like Adam is not refuting God's love in esteeming him. And Cain also is not refusing, or Cain is making up his mind that, okay, what is my warrant? Death? Please let me just die. He makes room to receive God's compassion and God's mercy. So we ought to also receive. The unbeliever also ought to receive. Healing is his love. His power demonstrated in your life is in his love. Your sins and mine forgiven is in his love.
Glory.
So we're going to learn to receive God's love. So he calls him a father that is attributed for good works. Then he now says, he causes the sun to shine on the just and then the unjust, or the evil and then the good. He's a good God. That's what I want you to know.
A good God.
Does he? Humans can be picky. Right? They can choose. I like this one. I don't like this one. I feel fine. God is not like that. A knowing and understanding is love. He loves you and he loves the other. Do you understand what I'm saying? Great. So we ought to get to understand his character because it's also part of knowing and understanding the Father's love. Right? Some of us love our bosses. Some of us love our deputy bosses. Others hate their secretaries, the secretary to the boss, because you think she likes to wear long heels. With HR. But HR of most departments are quite interesting, especially when they are women.
Very true.
So he loves. As interesting as it is, you can say, oh, that's for me, I've never done this, I've never done that, so that's why God loves me. No. The person who is doing this, the person who is doing that, God loves you both together. Person who has anything doing in their life that you think you are not doing, God loves both of you together. So the love of God, right, will be seen in this. His character also of not being weak.
Please be first.
He doesn't love me more than he loves. That's actually true. He doesn't love me more than he loves. What probably might differentiate me from you is that I'm keen on receiving what he says that he needs. While in fact, some other person, not you, might not. In the worst days of your life, I want you to remember.
Worst days, Pastor.
Holy thing.
Worst days, Pastor.
Do not forget. It's not good. In the worst days of life and the circumstances that life brings, don't forget. Let's turn to James. James 1:17. Can we read together? One, two, go. Okay, you're not there. Yes, okay. James 1:17. Okay, can we read together? Okay. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Do you see that? So he's calling him good. He's calling him perfect. Then he's calling him a Father Christmas, a man of gifts. And where is it coming from? It's coming from him. From the Father of what?
Light.
From the Father of light. With whom is no one?
Variableness.
It's like he's always changing. He's the same. He's not like changing to tomorrow. Charlie, this God, we missed you. You never go through. Understand how you small. No. All what he's done for us. He wants us to see it in Christ. Once we get to understand Christ, we can know who God is. So if we see what Christ has done, we know who God is. If we want to know the character of God, we see him in Christ. If we want to know how God will respond in any situation, we can just pick out a situation that Christ responded in, and then we'll know, okay, that is the mind of God, right? When the woman who was caught in the act of adultery was brought right before Jesus, if we want to know the mind of God towards that act, is to see what Jesus said and how he responded in the situation. That's exactly how God will respond.
he's not going to respond differently. So there is no variables. He's a constant God. He's the same. He does not change. So you see that maybe someone can pick up the Adam and Eve story and then paint it in a certain line, like God is a cursing God. He has cursed the whole earth. That's what we are saying. He has cursed. Even now, we are all cursed. So you need to, after you believe in Jesus Christ, the curse is still not good. You need to bring yourself now into the liberty of what you are missing. And after you have brought yourself into that liberty, you ought to control the tenets of that liberty that you have in Christ. So it makes it so complicated. But no, that's not true.
That's not true.
So he is faithful.
He's faithful.
There is no variableness in him. You know, there's a mental condition. The person can be smiling like, but suddenly, one second, he's smiling. And then the next second, like, this is back to very serious, like you are afraid again.
Wow.
And then the next second,
my God.
So you're not really sure. When you touch God in a certain way, the next second, when it's like you are praying, it's like you're not really feeling good. Shall we? It's like your mom born. You know, every good gift and every perfect gift is from God and coming down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variables, neither shadow. Look at James 1:5. Just back to this one. If any of you lack wisdom, I told you to pray this prayer every day.
Yes, Pastor.
Every day.
Maybe you
pray like 20 minutes every day. Because when you are not wise, it shows in a lot of decisions. And it makes your life very miserable without wisdom. So every day you ask God. And look at what he's going to do. If you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally. Right? To give liberally is to give willingly. You give willingly. It's liberal. 20 Ghana, take. 10 cities, take. Without any string attached. I remember telling someone, I said, you only call me when you need money. That's not liberal.
Yeah, it's not liberal.
Liberal means that whether the person calls or not, you give. Liberal.
No, that's listen. I'm not talking about the
context of that because sometimes you need to be intelligent. Eh?
Yes, Mr. Pastor. Intelligent.
Then I'll give you money, give you money. The bank finance. Indomie. Jollof. See, the person doesn't eat the jollof. So we call you and we say, jollof. This is what? You don't work. Where do you get the money from? So, oh, the money you give me. The Lord. But you see, God is not like man. But you see that? So he gives liberally. Right?
Yes.
And then, look what is going to happen. He upbraided not. It means he doesn't find fault. When you ask him, he's not going to find fault. Like, you did this yesterday, you did that today. Tomorrow you do this. Meanwhile, you come and ask again. He's just say, Lord,
according to his word.
Lord. He doesn't sit with someone. Every time.
time you ask. Every time you ask. Every time you ask. Every time you ask.
Somebody called me some time back. The person was in senior high school. And the person called me. Call me, I'll give. I said, hey. I said, I pick a call and whenever I see a call, money. I said, hello. Sit down. Let me tell you something. I said, hello. I said, hey. It looks like our relationship is money. So I said, thank you for dying. So all the SS group and I asked them this question. Do you go for dying? The
special.
Listen to me, my sister. And I spoke to her like a pastor. I said, listen to me. Let's go for dining. Go to dining. You will not die. The food there will not kill you. Go to dining. Go to dining. All the SS students here, go to dining.
Go to dining.
It's just a season. Just a season. 3 years will be done. University people, eat what you have.
Yes. Eat what you have.
Because yours is not dying, it's what you have. But you see, God gives liberally. Now, I'll still give you, but normally, I can keep giving, but I realize that person lacks wisdom. And that is going to cost you. Because you won't have everybody that keeps giving.
Yes, please, Pastor.
So I try to say, no, you need to go to dining. Then, in my advice or counsel, I'll tell you, I will not give you this money for this frequency. So maybe I'll talk to you. Let's come to a consensus. In 7 days or 2 weeks, how much do you spend every day? Say, 55. I said, every day I don't spend 55. So now we're changing the 55. You go to dining, don't you? Yes, yes. Okay, 15 or 10 CD. You go to dining, don't you? Yes, Pastor, you said you go to dining. It's okay, 15 times 7. 70 CDs. Okay. So that means I'll give you 70 CDs. I'm not going to give you anything. And even the 70 CDs, I think you should leave some days where you don't spend money. Because normally, when you just give and give and give and give, which is good, but there's a wisdom to keeping what is given.
Yes, please, Pastor.
And when you don't have it, you become unwise.
Yes, please, Pastor.
You see that?
Yes,
you become unwise. So you try to teach while giving as well. It's not like you don't give at all. So you don't give at all. You give it away, but you try to help them. It's just like a child. You need to bring a child up. You need to train a child.
Yes, please, Pastor.
So those of you who think beating your children is whatever, be careful. You need to be able to, at a point in time, you need to spank their butts a bit. Instead of, don't do this again.
Yes, Pastor, sir.
I realize this a lot of times. I have children. Wow. I don't have children. But I realize that. I mean, I would spank you and beat you if I should spank you and beat you. But I realize that whenever you correct children in love, you teach them what they should not do. They actually draw closer to you even more. Yes, but a few times I've had them out. Sometimes I sit here, if you don't sit, I will lash you. I lash you. The uncle, you lash me. I lash you. The reason why I don't want you to do this and this is because when you do this and this happens to you, I will not be too happy. Is that okay? So God gives me. He's not finding fault. You did this today. So you are asking God for things. And you think the reason why that thing is not coming is because you did something. Let me tell you, He gives liberally.
Are you listening?
Yes.
He gives freely. And some of you feel like, I keep asking. That's wrong. Keep asking.
Yes, because I said.
He can supply everything that you ask him at any point in time. If you know how to ask. So don't ever feel like I'm asking God for too much. You never ask him for too much. The world is his.
The world is his.
So he gives liberally to the fool. So when you realize that you are a fool and you are not wise, he says that ask God for wisdom. Folly sometimes can be in situations as well. You don't just know how to handle situations. Like there's a situation before, you don't know what to do. He says, ask me for wisdom. I'll give liberally. I'll give willfully. I will not withhold from you. I will not stay back. I will not drop back from you. So in situations, learn to ask God. So a nature of God is that he gives what?
Liberally.
And he upbraids not, right? See what he said. Now the condition, because if I don't add this, it leaves our conversation incomplete. But let him ask in faith, nothing one, doubting or wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let no man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Don't think you're going to receive of the Lord thinking that he loves you today, tomorrow he doesn't love you. That's how you do not receive from him. It's when you are confused about his love for you, you are likely not to receive anything. Today you believe he cares for you. He's the best God that you've ever seen. Oh, how that you love him. Tomorrow, you say no, you are not too sure. He says, let no man think that he can receive anything of the Lord. Because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So in the love of God, you're going to be sure about this. I want you to be sure about it. Don't be here to me. Tomorrow. I don't think so. Lord, where's your love for me? Listen, he loves you even when you're going through difficult times and situations.
This pastor.
One time, Kenneth Hagin had a vision about a man who had divorced his wife. A great man. Not just a great man. In a sense, like the way you would think. But he was a man of the Atlantic. And Kenneth Hagin said, when Jesus appeared to him, he told him, go and tell my friend. Kenneth Hagin said that Jesus was calling the divorcee. What's that how you call it? Divorcee. He's free. But it's easy to say that when you see somebody who's in the past, the reason that God has not loved him. Not loved him. But in the vision, God was telling him, that's my friend. You can't imagine that. That's my friend. So some of you, that you think God, you lost, but He's calling you as His friend.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
He calls you His friend. He
calls me His friend.
What a blessing!
What a blessing!
So He gives liberty, but we must be fair. We must come to that place where we know His love. We understand His love.
Oh, yes.
We understand. And we know. He has dealt with us kindly. See verse 13 to 16.
the same James. We're still looking at the love of God because these are things that can stop you from receiving his love. So he's not selective. Like, you feel like that person, God loves the person, no. But as for me, I don't know what I've done to God. I don't know what I'll do. I don't know what is going on. Oh, God really cares about that person. But as for me, he doesn't really care about me. But I want you to understand. His love for you is constant. It never changes. He's not selective. Thank you, Jesus. He's liberal in his love. He's not fault finding. Like whenever you get to him, he's already, you feel like God is looking out for their faults. Every time they appear, there's a fault. Now, some of you who are even Christians, you can even see something and think, God has a fault with me. Because he told me to go for evangelism yesterday, and I didn't go. So it means that now he doesn't really love me. No. When you realize that he told you to go for evangelism and you didn't go, the next time he tells you, respond. That's how to correct what you did. Or respond immediately. You know you are disobeying. Respond there and there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because there are certain times he tells you, okay, give yourself to prayer. And that's the time you're actually sleeping. So you should actually now begin to respond. The moment you realize it, is the time you should respond. He loves you.
Very much.
See what it says in James 1:13. Let no man say that when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. Remember, there's no violence in him. He's a God of light. He's a good God. He's not the one causing you to go through temptations. No temptation. Say, the way God is tempting me, Father, I'm not following that. No, he's not the tempter. So, what James is saying is that you are going to be in error to think or say when you are going through difficulties or challenges, God is the one tempting you with evil. Because there's no evil in God. He's the Father of lights. And he remains the same. You know, a temptation is normally with the intent of a fault. You have an active desire that the person misses out on the target. So there's that, I want him to really miss it. He will miss it. I want him to fall. He's not like that. So whenever you get tempted, don't say that God is the one tempting you. Don't say, God is tempting me, to insult my dad, He's trying to tempt me. No, if there's anybody who tempts, it's the devil. Because he wants a fall of you. Yes, there could be tests. Right? And those testings will be there to prune you and to train you. Not to cause you to fall. It's to squeeze out the oil from you. And to bring out what he's called. So, when you are tempted, do not say temptations are from God. For God is not a tempter. There's no evil. He's the Father of lights. And he remains the same all the time. There is no variables in him.
Not at all.
He gives liberal. When
When you pray today, you ask him for something, and you pray the next day, you ask him for another thing, you pray the next day, you ask him for another. He continues. That's our God.
That's our God.
We'll give thanks unto the Lord. For he is good. His mercy endures forever. Let's look at the last scripture. His love. But this, I want to just communicate with you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. This is a call, first of all, to salvation. But much more it can be in the ministry as well. Because a call to salvation is a call to the ministry. He says he has not called you because you were noble. He has not called you because you were wise. Not called you because you were mighty. Not called you because you had some good character or trait. But he has chosen the person. See, when God chooses and he says, I love you, it's not something that is stirred by an emotion. No, it's a choice he makes. And he makes up that choice that he loves you. I want you to know this morning. God has made a choice to love you. He has made a choice to love you. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. God has made a choice to love you. God has made a choice to love you. God has made a choice to love you. And it's in his love that he extends his faith in the ministry. It's because he loved you, that's why he called you. It's because he loved you, that's why he called you.